open it to, Ben, it wasn't your fault. Open it to Judges chapter 14. Last week we read chapter 13 and 14 up to verse 10, and we're going to just pick up from chapter 14, verse 10 now. Now his father went down to see the woman, and remember last week I pointed out as we were reading how often went down comes. It's just symbolic. It's the narrator's way of just showing that there's a downward slide happening here. And again, we read, now his father went down to see the woman. And there Samson held a feast, as was customary for young men. This was the wedding feast. When the people saw him, they chose 30 men to be his companions. That's like when we see a wedding, there's a couple of groomsmen. There were 30 groomsmen that were given to Samson for this wedding. And so now at this party, he's got these 30 groomsmen, and he wants to just spice the thing up a bit. So he says, let me tell you a riddle. If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast. Now they knew how to party in those days. It went on for 7 days. And he said, now this is a riddle. If you can tell me within 7 days what the answer to this riddle is, I'm going to give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. I'm going to get you 30 three-piece suits. Each one of you I'm going to go and buy you a three-piece suit, is what he's saying. Tell us a riddle, they said. They were quite excited about this. Let's hear it. And this is the riddle. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they could not give him the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. They were also pretty rough in those days. I just want to add, in case you missed that. Did you invite us here for him to steal our property? Then Samson's wife threw herself onto Samson, sobbing, you hate me. Oh, you hate me. We don't do that, do we? You hate me. You really don't love me. I've never heard that in this kind of a company, do I? That's how we get our way. You give my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't explained it to my father or mother, says the real sensitive side of Samson coming through there. So why should I explain it to you? She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. On the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him, she in turn explained the riddle to her people. Wow. Good wife, eh? But I guess it's her life, eh? I mean, they'd threatened to kill her. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men went to town and said, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them, you have plowed with my heifer, which is another way of just saying you've made use of my wife to get this out of me. Otherwise, you would have not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came with him in power, and he went down. You see, there it is again. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home, and Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended the feast. Samson, in effect, left her at the altar. Later on, at the time when the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, I'm going to my wife's room. But her father would not let him. And this is the reason. He says, I was so sure you hated her, he said, that I gave her to your companion, to one of the groomsmen. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. So he went out and caught 300 foxes, tied them tail to tail in pairs. Then he fastened a torch to every pair of tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and standing grain together with the vineyards and olive groves. When the Philistines asked who did this, they were told Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his companion. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I swear I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The people of Judah asked, "Why have you come to fight us?" "We have come to take Samson prisoner," they answered, "to do to him as he did to us." Just so far this evening as we read. This is the second in our series of in the life of Samson. Samson was a man of enormous potential, given amazing physical strength, and God had actually planned to use Samson to free the Jews from the tyranny of the Philistines. You can see what a rough crowd the Philistines were, and they were kind of the guys who were in control at that point in time, and the Jews were living under their tyranny. And so God was looking for someone who was willing to stand in the gap. Remember our verse from last week? "I looked for someone among them who would build a wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one." Looking for someone to stand in the gap, but I found no one. Standing in the gap, we spent some time looking at that. It involves looking at what is happening around us. We don't go around with our eyes closed. We see some horrible stuff happening around us. So when we're standing in the gap, it starts that we look around and are aware of what's happening around us. And then we don't just leave it. We pray about what we see happening around us. As I said last week, we stand with one hand in heaven and we stand with one hand on earth, bringing earth and heaven together as we pray to the God who's able to do something about what is happening around us. But standing in the gap is more than simply being aware of what's happening around us and praying about it. It's also making ourselves available to be God's instrument. So that's what's involved in standing in the gap. God was looking for someone willing and able to stand in the gap. So God gave them Samson. Gave Samson the ability. But Samson kept doing stuff that disqualified him from standing in the gap. And in our text today, we don't see anything improving in Samson being willing and able to stand in the gap. Just another reminder about last week. Samson had taken, remember, the Nazarite vow? The Nazarite vow was that he abstained from alcohol, that he avoid dead bodies at all costs, because in those days, if you were involved with a dead body in any way, either close to it or touch it for some reason, you became ceremonially unclean and you couldn't worship God until you'd purified yourself. So you had to keep yourself ceremonially pure, and then to not cut his hair, which was just the outward symbol of the vow that he had taken. It was just a sign that he'd taken this vow. By taking a Nazarite vow, what happened is that we show that we are really serious about being useful to God. And normally the Nazarite vow is taken by someone who is facing a difficult time or maybe facing decisions, and they say, "Lord, I'm really going to give myself to you for a period of time because I need to hear from you, I need your power, and so for a limited period of time, I'm not going to touch alcohol, I'm not going to go near dead bodies, and I'm not going to cut my hair." It was different with Samson. His mom and dad had to make a promise that Samson will be a Nazarite for life because I want this man to be able to stand in the gap. So his whole life, he's going to be given to me in a really special way. It hadn't gone well for Samson. Samson started by demanding that his parents arrange for him to marry this Philistine girl. And remember, on the way to the wedding, he had killed a lion. Later on his way to the wedding, they'd passed that same spot, and Samson went to look at the carcass, and he found that bees had made a hive in the carcass, and he had reached in and taken some of that honey and had eaten it. They get to the wedding feast. Samson is given these 30 Philistine men as his groomsmen. And Samson wants to introduce some excitement to the wedding, and so he challenges them to explain the riddle. And I want to say that archaeologists have found that there were riddles kind of engraved here and there. They were obviously things which people did in those days, answer riddles. And so riddles were big. And so he says, "Let's do this riddle." And they say, "Yes, yes, yes." And he says, "Let's make it even more interesting. You get the riddle, and each one of you, I will give you a three-piece suit, but if you don't get it, then each one of you gives me a three-piece suit. So Samson had a lot to lose, but he had a lot to gain as well. The riddle, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. And as I said, they knew how to party in those days. They got 7 days of party. And he says, by the end of the 7 days, you need to give me the answer. They've got no idea. They go to his wife. They threaten to kill her and her father if she doesn't get the answer out of Samson. Samson refuses to give her the answer. So she starts to cry and wail and eventually just can't take it anymore. He gives her the answer. She goes to the men. And on the seventh day, with a gloating in their voice, they come to Samson and they say, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? They give him the answer. Samson is livid. And he knows the only way they could have got the answer was from his wife. And so in a fit of rage, he uses his enormous strength to go and rob 30 men of their clothes. He takes them to his groomsmen, distributes them to his groomsmen, and then, burning with anger, he returns to his father's home, leaving his bride at the altar. He never got to consummate the marriage. So the marriage, in fact, never happened. Samson is a loose cannon. And loose cannons are dangerous because they're unpredictable. You see, Samson is acting out of anger and emotion, not out of reason. But there's more to come. After Samson has calmed down a bit, he goes back to the girl's family. He's now ready to go and claim his bride. He's thought better of it, you know. And so now he goes and he says, now I want my bride. Oops. She's been given away. Her father didn't want to embarrass her by leaving her at the altar with no husband, and so he gave her to one of the groomsmen. That pushes Samson over the edge. He goes off by himself, catches 300 foxes, ties their tails together. That's 150 pairs of foxes. And to each pair of foxes, he attaches a burning branch, sets the branch alight, and looses the foxes. Now, these little foxes run around like mad because they're running away from that fire that's attached to their tail. And in doing so, sets the countryside alight. The grain, the olive groves, the vineyard, all burned down, all belonging to the Philistines. How irresponsible is that coming from an act of passion? But as I said, Samson acts out of emotion, and the emotion right then was anger. So what do the Philistines do? Well, they go off and murder Samson's wife and her father. So what did Samson do when he heard this? Since you've acted like this, I swear that I won't stop until I get my revenge. What are we seeing here? What are we seeing here? We're seeing an act of violence, then on to revenge, and then on to more violence. And it's a cycle that will not be broken unless what? What is the only thing that can break that cycle of violence? I mean, what will stop that cycle of violence and revenge in an instant? Just keep that thought in mind. Let's go back to the beginning of this downward spiral. What caused the problem in the first place? It was very simple. Samson marrying someone he shouldn't have married. God was against it, but he did it anyway. His parents were against it, but he didn't. That didn't stop him from doing it. Okay, so Samson was now going to marry this woman. What's the next step in the downward spiral? Well, remember, Samson killed the lion. Well, that's self-protection. What could the man do? He had no choice. But remember, he had taken a vow not to even go near, let alone touch a carcass. And we read this, Samson turned aside to see the lion's carcass. In spite of knowing that he oughtn't to, he turned aside, he went to the carcass, he sees the honey, and he grabs some of the honey out of his carcass. And of course, he now has material for his riddle, but he's touched the carcass. Okay, so he did all that. Riddles are popular in those days. But then Samson adds gambling to his long line of mistakes. And if he were going to gamble, he should not have gambled to the extent where he was not able to make good on his debt. Samson did not have the means of giving 30 three-piece suits of clothing away. He shouldn't have spent more than he could afford. Can you see how Samson keeps on straying further and further from God? And going further and further from God creates more and more trouble. And it all started with Samson's first small step away from God. How many of us have gotten into trouble and we close our eyes and we can remember with regret that first thing we did? And how we wish we hadn't done that. Hey? That first thing, we remember it. We knew it was wrong, but we did it anyway. Samson is in trouble. It started when he took that first step, all those steps back. But now he owes 30 suits of clothes. So Samson digs himself deeper by robbing 30 people of their suits in order to pay his debt. And then Samson calms down. He realizes he's acted hastily. He realizes he's made an absolute fool of himself. And so he wants to make right with his wife. He returns to her only to be told that her dad has given her to another. Now, just stop for a moment. In those days, her dad did the right thing. Just keep that in mind. That's what dads did. That's what they did. That's how it worked. She gave her daughter, and he gave his daughter, and he was allowed to do it. In fact, he ought to have done it. It was the right thing to do. It was his duty to stop the embarrassment of his daughter by giving her to another so that she's not standing at the altar without any husband. So the dad was acting correctly when he did that. And Samson, who lived in that culture, ought to have known that. After all, he was a person from that culture. And Samson should have acted differently when he heard what her dad had done, given all that he had done. I asked earlier what Samson could have done to have ended the cycle immediately. Here is the answer. Imagine, I want you to imagine, this isn't how it played out, but I want you to imagine if the conversation with her dad had gone like this. The dad says to Samson, "Sorry, Samson, when you ran off so angry like that, I really assumed it was over. I couldn't believe that you would ever come back. And so, Samson, I did what every good dad ought to do. I didn't want my daughter embarrassed. I gave her to someone else." And then Samson could have replied, "Oh, what an idiot I was. I'm sorry for acting like an ass. Hey, I'm really sad because this was a one hot chick, you know. But I understand. I understand." And just like that, the cycle of violence and revenge would have been over. What did Jesus say later? "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they would be called children of God." When people stand in the gap, when God looks for someone to stand in the gap, God is looking for a peacemaker. Samson wasn't a peacemaker, and so began the cycle of violence and revenge. His revenge, Samson torched the whole countryside. The Philistine revenge, killed the bride and her father. Samson's response, "Since you've acted like this, I swear that I won't stop until I get my revenge on you." What did Samson do? He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. What did the Philistines do? They went looking for Samson. Why? "Because we have come to take Samson prisoner to do to him as he did to us." See the cycle. You hurt me, I hurt you. You hurt me, I hurt you. Are you part right now of a cycle of revenge? Are you keeping a thing going? I'm pretty sure that it's not physical violence, but it might be. But maybe there's a family tension. Family members aren't talking to each other because someone said something or did something. Will you be the one to stand in the gap? Will you be the one to make it stop by taking the hit, even by apologizing? Maybe a friendship is in jeopardy. Both parties are too proud to make the first move towards reconciliation. Will you be willing to stand in the gap and take the hit? Maybe someone gossiped about you. Maybe you haven't spoken to them since you heard about it. Will you stand in the gap and go to the person and open a conversation to try and deal with it and get it out the way and restore the relationship? Can you think of the supreme example of a peacemaker? We were living in rebellion against God. God, who is holy, could never be at peace with us because of our sin. Left to our own devices, God would have to have punished us. But Jesus took the hit for us. And because Jesus took the hit for us, God was able to forgive us. God could make peace with us because Jesus was our peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Yes, it is a good idea. Yes, it will end much strife. And as Jan said this morning, we could make a big difference in our area of influence if we were willing to take the hit. But our motivation to be a peacemaker is not because it's a good idea. It's because we have the example of Jesus. Will you be a peacemaker? God is looking for peacemakers to stand in the gap. Will you be that person? Or will you be the one who allows Samson's mistakes to repeat themselves again and again and again and again? It's not going to stop until somebody says, no more. I'll be a peacemaker. I'll take the hit. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, this is difficult, and it's just not something which seems the right way of doing things. And yet, Lord, our desire is to please you, and in pleasing you, we will in fact show the world a different way, a new way. And so, Lord, we ask you to show us where there might be some situation right now where you need us to take the hit so that relationship can be restored. Help us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.